He's... Is he yours? Is he yours? The Lord is mine. And we all need to be able to say he's mine. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Amen. 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 Why don't you give God some praise, y'all? Amen. God is so good. The Lord is so good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Lord, thank you so much. Hide us behind the cross now and help us to lift Jesus and him alone, that the world through him might be saved. Give us your truth. Help us to stand, that others may come to know you. Is our hope and faith in Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 If you would turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning with the 15th verse. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. This is how it reads. He says, Paul, that is, to the church, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit in the heavenly places. Amen. Amen. You might be seated. I want to talk for a while from the subject, hearing and heeding the call of God. Hearing and heeding the call of God. Large part of the reason I believe I'm here today in this text is because of it being our focus in church, in the church's Bible study. We have been walking through Ephesians, and as the Lord has spoken to me and continues to work with me as it relates to us being amped up and prepared to do his work, this came that I believe we might share with everyone how important it is to be on the same page with God. And in order to be on the same page, we all must hear God, number one. And then we must heed God's word. That is to not only pay attention to, but to observe the call. And know that God has called each of us. No matter what role God has called you to, or respectively, no matter what office or position God has called you to, you must hear God and heed the call of God on your life. Am I right about it? God has called all of us to the kingdom. And God has, according to Ephesians 4 and Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, God has given each of us at least one gift that we might utilize and be about in the working of the kingdom on earth. Amen. That an amen goes right there. That's when I pause, I'm waiting on you to say amen. Everyone has been given at least one gift to help do this work. Am I right about it? Amen. Reverend Crowder, good to see you. How you doing? Amen. I'm a firm believer that in this age, the 21st century, God is calling all of us to be about what we've been called to be about. And you'll know that you're about what God has called you to be about when you hear God and when you give attention to God. God will share with you his truth and his direction through prayer, through meditation, through patience, through working in the church. God will let you know and let others know that what he's called you to has been affirmed. If God, I was sharing with the Bible study of God, you know, people come up and say, and especially preachers, that I've been called, the Lord called me to do this and that. Well, if you're the only one God has told that, then you might need to go back, because God confirms his calling on your life with others. Am I right about it? But we want everybody on the court. We want everybody touching the ball. The teams that do well now make sure everybody touches the ball. Am I right about it? We want everybody to touch the ball. We want everybody working, everybody being utilized, hearing and heeding the call of God. Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. We believe that he wrote this city and the church in this city during his time in jail at Rome. I preached not long ago from the text in Acts, where Paul called the elders of the church of Ephesus to Miletus, and then he wrote them in all probability later on, but he wrote them because of what he says in this text. He says, "I have heard about your faith and your love towards all the saints." Paul and his prayer for the church was continual. He says here and elsewhere that his prayers were made without ceasing. And we must take our cue from Paul if we're going to be on the same page with the Lord. Our prayers must ever be without ceasing. We must pray and pray persistently and pray, as James says in his fifth chapter, we must pray fervently. Our prayers ought be serious business, not just daily recitations and not just a laundry list of things we want, but our prayers ought to be about hearing from the one who hears and answers prayer. prayers, praying for all the saints. Paul's prayer included thanksgiving for all the saints at Ephesus. This may not sound important, but it is. Paul was a Jew born of a prominent and influential family, and oftentimes Jews were, even after Christ, were trying to be exclusive in their deportment and in their faith. And Paul says, no, if we're going to do this thing, we have to include everybody. Israel got it wrong in the Old Testament. They too thought they were special and that God had called them apart from everyone, and they were God's chosen people, and they were. But Isaiah 49 says, not to be a light to yourselves, but to be a light to other nations. So we've got to move so that the lights that we have, we move from the dome lights of the church to the headlights of our vehicles so that God's light shines everywhere. It's not enough to just have the light of God shine on us. We must share the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So we need to share light with those who sit in darkness and tell them that a great light has come. He was a Jew, but Acts 9 says that his whole call, his whole reason for being, his whole reason for being born was to take the message of the gospel to the Gentiles, to take God's word to those who others thought didn't deserve it. Even Jesus' people in his hometown, if you look at Luke, when Luke 4:18 and following say Jesus went to the temple as his custom was, and he stood and read from Isaiah about the Spirit of the Lord being upon me, he was fine till he said, this hearing is being realized today. And if you read on, they tried to hurt him. They tried to do him in right then, because their understanding of the Word of God and the Messiah coming was that he was for them exclusively. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year. He didn't come just for the prim and pretty. He didn't come for just the educated. He didn't come for those who are well-traveled, who traverse the skies on vacation. He didn't come just for those who have. He came for the have-nots. And until we get this thing right, we will be misappropriating the good news if all we're going to do is just sit up and preach and sing one another happy and then go home. I think we've missed our cue. Definitely. Met with a group of pastors for at least a year until they told me that's all they do. You mean to tell me we're going to meet every week and teach one another doctrine and preach a sermon every week to one another and talk every week? What about the community? The folk who are filling your coffers live in these communities. So I said, well, I ain't going to be able to do that. Y'all let me know how you're doing, because I ain't going to be able to do that. We can no longer tell those we serve and lead that this is all we do. 21st century church must become an empowered church. Empowered to the extent that everybody, like Nehemiah says, is on the wall. And everybody has a mind to work. Paul's prayer was not only a thanksgiving for all the saints, it was a petition that those at Ephesus would come to a deeper and fuller grasp of the truth of God as revealed in the scriptures. You see, Ephesus was a city like the Metroplex, like the DFW Metroplex. It was a center of trade. It was huge when it came to commerce and trade and travel. It was a leading city in that province. It really was, and it was an attraction. But most of it was inhabited by those who practiced hedonism and who worshiped false gods. The temple there, dedicated to the goddess Diana, was a magnificent splendor, and a lot of people there worshiped at that temple. So Paul's work was cut out for him, and what he was trying to say is, if you're going to join me in this work, let's get together from the very start. Don't fool me now. Do you really want to get on board with this? He says, in order to do it, you must come to a deeper and fuller grasp of the truth we talk about. That's why Bible study is so important, and church Sunday school is so important, and even the other classes that you may take outside of the church, they are so important, because in order to come to know who God is fully and more deeply, you must study His Word. And I don't mean just meditate on it. There is the role for meditation and prayer, but study is altogether different. Study His Word, sitting under the leadership of someone who's called to teach, so that your life becomes more rich, more directed, more dependent on who God is and what God's purpose for your life is. I know you become afraid at times, and I know some may be scared to allow God to touch them and handle them and make them and mold them. I know it's not easy becoming flexible and pliable and bendable, but that's what we've been called to. Jeremiah says, he at the potter's house, he saw a work being worked on a wheel. You got to let God bend you the way He wants to bend you. And it's better to do it early, because when you're younger, you're a bit more bendable. As we get older, we get a little more rigid. Not only in our body, but in our ways. I know you ain't trying to make me change now. I've been doing this. Prayed that they would come to a deeper, more full grasp of the truth of God as revealed in the scriptures. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, He said, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. Then He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling. That the spirit of wisdom and revelation be yours, and that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. My. Paul's prayer moves from the general to the specific. Verse 17 and verse 18, before we get to the hope of His calling, Paul is praying that the Ephesian saints may be given a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. that we need the Spirit of God, and we need God's revelation through Scripture to help us know who we are and where we are going. To have that, to need that, suggests that God's truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But some of it is hidden to us until it is revealed at the time God wants us to hear it or know it. And there's nothing wrong with having the mysteries unfolded for us. God's truth is mysterious in many ways. You read the books of Daniel and Revelation, you don't come to its truth by reading it. You must study and meditate it, or have someone help explain what is apocalyptic literature. It's hidden, and you must study to understand it. Am I right about it? And so let's not be fearful about the task of coming into wisdom. James says those who would have it or want it must ask God for it. Acts 6, when the deacons were brought forward, it says, "But select from among you, brethren, 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." Full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. And then they said of Stephen, when those in the town wanted to contend with him, verse 10 in Acts chapter 6 says, "And yet they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the Spirit with which he was speaking." The truth of God is such that when you've been taught and when you understand God's word and know what God is saying to you, and God's word is hidden in your heart, others may say what they will, but they will not be able to contend with you. Paul said later on in Acts, and when he was coming close to the end of his ministry, that in one town he went in and he said for 3 days he argued with men in the Scriptures. Folk who don't believe in God, folk who did not believe the truth about God, who had worshipped idol gods their entire lives, argued with Paul for 3 days. But he knew that his mission was to take light to those who sat in darkness. So when you tell the truth and speak the truth, it won't always be received. But people will know that you have had posited within you the truth of God. Whether they acknowledge it or not, they will know that you have been with Jesus. So study. Let us study, Paul would say, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And this is what Paul said to Timothy. "You, Timothy, however, continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So we want our youth with the same frame of reference, that early they are inundated with knowing what truth is, not fiction. We know they get a lot of that, and we know they hear a lot of it, but we want them inundated with the truth. The truth makes all of us free. But certainly Paul was saying that for those who have yet to come to this work, we're praying that you will hear God and heed God's call on your life. We need you on the court. We need you working. We need you rubbing shoulders with us as we navigate these communities and streets to help share with others who God is. Secondly, he wanted them to have the eyes of their heart enlightened. In other words, divine wisdom is necessary to understand God's revelation. This is what the psalmist said, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." David goes on to say in the 119th Psalm, "Thy hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." For Solomon would say, to receive instruction in wise behavior, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Lastly, Jesus said in the Beatitudes himself in chapter 5 of Matthew, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." He wanted to have the eyes of their heart enlightened. They would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and have their heart enlightened in order to understand the hope of God's calling. That's the bottom line. The hope of God's calling on your life. Not my hope for your calling. The hope of God's calling on your life must be worked out between you and God. We will pray for you and with you, but at some point you must stop resisting and allow God to fashion you for the purpose you were created. Calling here is to be one's calling to faith. And we know, this is the one we've come a long way with, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But listen to what he goes on to say, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become the firstborn among many brethren, and whom he predestined, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified," in Romans 8. Fight the good fight. That's what we have to do. Take hold of eternal life, Paul would tell Timothy, "to which you were called, and make a good confession of your witness." I'm simply saying today that as much as is possible, let us, as we talk with, learn with, serve one another, leave the cares of the world behind, and let us now walk in the newness of life. It's one thing to claim you have salvation. It's another thing altogether to walk in the newness of life, following the precepts and principles and teachings of Jesus Christ, and allowing the Holy Spirit to inform and guide us and bring all things to our remembrance. You want to know how we can become what God wants us to be? Everyone must hear, as Paul did, the call of God on our lives and heed the call. It's one thing to hear it. It's another, quite honestly, to obey, confirm, and observe the call. So today, my hope was to get us to hear and to do something. Today, I'm challenging all of us to be about what God has called us to be about. No more second guessing, no more waiting, no more urging, no more deliberating, no more vacillating, no more being tempted not to. Let us now stand on the wall and be about what God has called us to be about. Everybody working in the kingdom makes it what God wants it to be. Oh, what joy you will experience when you know you are where God wants you to be. And it doesn't take all night, doesn't take all week, all month. All it takes is the willingness to say, I submit, I surrender all. Lord, use me. I'm yours, Lord. Whatever I am, whatever I'm not, use me. I'm in your hands. My life is no longer my own. And when we do that, the hope of the calling of God materializes to the end that the Lord himself will be pleased, because the reason all of this is possible is said through Christ Jesus. God accomplished this through his Son when he raised him from the dead. God made it possible for all of us to be what God wants us to be. No more excuses. No more chains holding us. No more limitations. No more being sidetracked. No more yielding to temptation. We all now have the possibility to be precisely what God has called us to be. As we move towards Easter in just 3 weeks, let us really understand what that is about. That whole, especially the Passion Week, the Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' life on earth, was to help us become reconciled to God. And when we're reconciled to God, there's no doubt in my mind we can be reconciled to one another. In fact, we must be reconciled to one another to move in the same direction at the same pace. No pulling back, no holding back, no creating friction, but ever yet moving forward. Paul would say, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Well, in order to press toward the mark, you must live at tiptoe response. You must always be on your tiptoes, always lunging forward, always leaping forward, always prepared to go higher. If you're going to prepare, you're going to move towards the mark God has for you, you must be prepared when he calls. And when he opens the door for you, know that you walked through as one who's been called, who's answered, and who is prepared. Yes, the Lord never opens doors he's not prepared you for. Paul would say, an open door was made available for me. Let us now as a church come together and walk together, loving one another, embracing one another, praying for one another, holding up one another as we go forward. Yesterday is past. Tomorrow is not promised. Let us now become enveloped in the right now. This day, this hour, this opportunity, let us take advantage of. Today, Jesus told the sinner, this day you will be with me. Let us take advantage of the opportunities that are before us. I don't know how you feel about it, church, but every day is a day of thanksgiving. Every day. Because there are new opportunities and new vistas, new heights, new amazements. Watch what God is going to do when we avail ourselves to him. Let's be thankful for what he's already done. Let's be prepared for what he is doing. And let's become excited about what he shall do with us. And I'm so glad he doesn't divulge all of it. I'm so glad he doesn't make it all aware right now. We might go somewhere and sit down. But But I'm thankful that he gives it to us and unfolds himself a little bit at a time. Keeps us in suspense so that we'll be excited about what potentially awaits us. God wants us to be excited and energized and synergized as one people. Many members, one body. The hand can't tell the arm that there's no need for the arm, because we all are just one member in the body, of which Christ is the head. Am I right about it? When one member suffers, we all suffer. When one member celebrates, we all ought to celebrate. I'm so glad. I hope that this has been helpful. I'm asking that not only do you commit to this, but commit to sharing with us on Wednesdays. Come and join us in Bible study. Come to Sunday morning church school. Let us reason together how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. I know I'm right about it. Hearing and heeding the call of God. The Lord calls. We answer. God bless you and keep you is my prayer.